just when you thought Santa Claus wasn't coming to see you, here he is in the person of Dr. Robert Pennington. We're delighted to have him here to speak to us today and to surround him with our love.
I expect to be changed by this experience. The past is over. It can touch me not. I am new. What God has made me, I am. These are the affirmations for the first three terraces and the seven terraces that I talked to you about last time. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to emphasize that to be new, the first two are kind of nice steps, expecting change to happen and letting go of the past. I want to emphasize that everything that happened to you before you came in here this morning is over. Let that sink a minute. If it comes back, it's because you brought it back. When you go out of here, you're going to be different than you came in, because this experience that you're having right now, you've never had before. I mean, you've all been in this room before, but not today. And this is a way of thinking that I find valuable. It's kind of like imagining that you're on a surfboard on a wave that's always moving into the next moment. And it allows me to be open in ways that I wasn't before. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have so many things to do that you need to get done before you can start something new? How many of you have more stuff to do than you can get done?
Most of us.
How many of you are going to die with stuff not done?
All of us.
So isn't it true that there's always going to be stuff to do?
Absolutely.
And a part of the block that I think I have and that I see everyone having in focusing on what we can be doing new is we're so consumed with all that we got to get done. I mean, when you go to sleep at night, how much are you thinking about how great it is that you accomplished what you did today or how much you've got to do tomorrow? And when you wake up in the morning, are you waking up like Charles Fillmore? Remember the quote of his, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth of the mighty faith to do the things that are to be done by me today." What are most of us thinking when we get up in the morning? Why? Because we're assuming today is going to be like yesterday. It's a habit. And I want to talk to you about habits and how to change them. Because, I mean, how many of you have, you know, maybe not this year, but in the past at least, set New Year's resolutions? How many of you don't do that anymore because you know you're not going to keep them anyway, so why create the guilt? Why is setting a New Year's resolution not sufficient? The answer I think most of us have been given is it has something to do with willpower or won't power or whatever. I just don't have enough willpower. And then we're beating ourselves up about that. I think it's because we're naive about what's actually required to initiate a new behavior into our life. I think we're naive about how full our life already is, and it makes it impossible in some ways to start something new. For instance, I don't know if anyone's like me had difficulty initiating a habit of learning to floss my teeth. I mean, you're not born being able to do that. That's something you actually have to develop as a habit. And I knew it was a good thing to do. I got the floss. Now, this may not be your example, but I'm sure you've got something similar. And I just don't think at the moment to do it. And so I forget. And part of the reason is I already have a whole bunch of habits in that morning toilet. You know, I mean, don't you have a series of events? You don't go through, okay, now am I going to brush my teeth today? Or am I going to do that? You know, you just do this and then you do this. And you don't do it in a different sequence. That would be confusing. So we have these morning habit that we go through, and each one leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next. And flossing wasn't in there. And in my mind, I just thought because I wanted to, I was very sincere about it, it ought to just like appear in there somewhere. And it may sound very simplistic, but I think it's profound. I never decided when. After what and before what? Just as simple as, am I going to do it before I brush my teeth or after I brush my teeth? If you don't make those kind of precise decisions as to when, it becomes just a nice intention. Now, there's a big difference between an intention and a habit. An intention is something you want to do that you don't ever do. I wanted to, and a part of us kind of feels like we ought to get some points for that, you know? I wanted to, I meant to. A habit we do without thought. You don't have to decide whether or not to do your habits. That's what they are, the things you do without decision. It's just what you do. And what I think I was unaware of, and maybe you too, is how many of these there are in our day. I mean, you go away, you come home. There's little things you do in those first few moments when you get home. And they can set habits into place and can make it difficult to establish a new behavior. So that we give up even trying. I mean, my guess is you could write down probably about 20 things that would be good for you to do. And for instance, how many of you know it would be good for you to eat less? How many of you have known this a long time? How many of you know it would be good for you to exercise more? How many of you have known this for a long time? How many of you just feel more guilty about me talking more about eating less and exercising more? I think part of our challenge is that it usually requires a great deal of pain for us to change. Mm-hmm. People spend money to reduce pain, not to increase joy.
It's true.
And usually, our intention doesn't become any type of real thing that we're going to implement until there's some pain in there, and that's sad. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I spent the last 12 days in bed. I've had something I never had before, I never even heard of before. It's called a facet inflammation, F-A-C-E-T, joints on the sides of your vertebra. Got inflamed. Now, I have had back problems for many years, and I know to have muscle relaxants, and I know to put ice on, but I didn't think of it. I went to bed in pain, and I woke up unable to move. Even a deep breath would send off spasms. Now, you've had a Charlie horse, and you know how bad that is for the time of the Charlie horse and the pain of that? Now, imagine that from your shoulders to your knees. That's what was happening for me. Now, it's just something that heals over time, basically, and so it's taken a while. So I'm vulnerable at the moment, but I'm better. But from what I've learned, there are many contributing factors. My weight adds more pressure to my back. My not doing exercise, just as simple as walking more, makes a difference in this. There are a number of things that I have known to do for a long time that I haven't been doing. So anyone else like this?
No, you're the only one.
Maybe I can save you some pain today. By helping you get from your intention to a habit. Now, I've done it in some areas of my life. I haven't done it in others. And I think that's always going to be the case. That while you're building a habit, there are others you're going to want to build. And the problem is, I think another problem I've had is I tried to do more than one at the same time, and I don't think it's actually possible. I've come to the awareness that you can only be working on one habit at a time. It just takes so much to do. And the analogy I have, and it's appropriate for this area of the country, is to getting something into orbit. The chair you're sitting on, for it to go into orbit around the world, do you know how fast it has to go? 25,000 miles an hour to get into orbit. Now, an orbit is kind of like a habit in the sense that it kind of is constantly falling around the earth. Now, it will decay over time, and actually habits can decay over time as well. But I have kind of a model in mind that I think might be helpful to you, and I'd like you to think of this moment not as just a moment of inspiration, but perhaps a moment of workshop, and to use this time right now to come up with a plan. I assume you already have the good intention of some things you think would be good for you to be doing. Now is the plan. Come up with a plan, and then practice is the action you're going to put in when you walk out the door and do this thing later, and I'm going to help you know what to do that. And then repetition is going to be important. And all of that's what's required to produce the habit, to get it into orbit and to get it to where it's on its way and doing it. So how many of you have the handout on the 6 steps to building a positive habit? Good. Now, there are layers of being new. One is just having a new insight or a new thought, but I think until something has changed our behavior, it's just that, a nice idea. So we want to build ourselves a lifestyle that actually is more supportive on a regular basis by working on only one habit at a time. So that's what the first step is, just to pick one kind of goal, something that you want to do for yourself that you think would be beneficial. And it could be, you know, health-wise or I don't know what it is, but you need to come up with something and write it down. Don't just think about it, but something that you think would be good for you to be doing. Okay. Go back into your bag of disappointments and the things you've been thinking of doing that you might not have gotten going yet as a habit and pick one. Everybody got one? Yes. I mean, I think it's being recorded, so you could do it later. But while you're here, be new now. Now, a lot of times people, when they do this first step, they do it in a very broad way. Like, I'm going to exercise more. Anybody kind of do that? See, now that is almost too broad to actually become anything. You know, so all you've done there is you've narrowed it down to an area of life. But I need you to do the next step, which is you have to consider the possibilities. What are some examples of doing something, a behavior, specific behavior, that would be an example of exercising? Like, for instance, walking would be a more precise example than exercise. Mm-hmm. So think through that. Take your broad thing. You may have come up with a very precise thing at the beginning. That's good. But most people don't. Most people think more broadly. And you need to be very precise. It needs to be an actual behavior. And that's what you want to come up with in step 2 is some examples. You may just have one. That's fine. You're ultimately just going to choose one. But you might come up with 2 or 3. What are some other specific exercise behaviors other than walking that someone could do? Anybody?
Yoga. Lift weights.
Lift weights. Yoga. Swim, bicycle. See, there's a lot. These are great. So you want to have at least one very specific behavior, and maybe 2 or 3. Everybody have at least one. Okay. If you've got more than one, I want you to pick one from your list of possibilities. Okay, now we need a specific behavior. Now here's the big kicker, 3. When? And it needs to be very specific as to day of week, time and place. Time and place. Now, let me give you a caution. How many of you are choosing something that you'd like to have be a daily habit? Okay, that's very ambitious. What's the chances of you successfully going from doing this 0 to doing this 100%? Like 0. So you set yourself up for failure if you set that as the immediate goal. Let me encourage you to have a transitional phase here where you set it to do a certain number of times a week, maybe on Tuesday and Thursday or Monday and Saturday. Be precise like that. Something less than 100%. Once you develop that as a habit, then add a day or two. I mean, your long-term goal is to get here, because otherwise you could fail and then be more discouraged. And we want to have it be a successful experience every step along the way. So take this one behavior and think of a framework in a time frame that is doable, that you have confidence, okay, I can do it on this day and this day, and I'd recommend not more than 3 days. And then when? What time of day? It's got to be that precise. If you leave it to in the afternoon, what are the chances of you having more stuff to do in that afternoon? I mean, right now, hear me. Isn't it true that if you had someone you could hire to take over every new responsibility that came to you, that they would do those for you for now? Don't you have like 3 or 4 months worth of stuff to do just to catch up? So every day we get a whole new worth of stuff to do. So if you think, okay, sometime in this afternoon I'm going to have time to do this, forget it. You get there, you got a whole bunch of other stuff that's just going to crowd in. You could call it temptation to not do the good thing. But if you set it as a precise time, I mean, think about yourself. When you want to make sure you do something, what do? You write it down where?
Schedule.
In your calendar. Otherwise, it's on a to-do list that easily becomes, for many of us, a to-get-to-sometime list. How many of you have a to-do list that you don't actually ever look at? But if I ever needed to, it's right there. I know where my to-do list is. So I want you to be specific as to time and place. Where are you going to do this? On what day? At what time? Because otherwise, just admit, you don't really want to do it. Okay, so everybody's got step 3 done? You've chosen a time and a place? If you know, holler if you have a question. Now, I think the step 4 is really the magic of the thing. Because even if we are very precise as to day, time, and place, unless you've got a smartphone that you can put an alarm on, what are the chances of you remembering something that you're not doing? Again, 0, which, by the way, is another use of your phone, if you think about it. I used to always forget to take out the garbage. You know, when they're supposed to pick it up on Tuesday, now I have an alarm. Monday evening, it goes off. I don't have to remember much of anything anymore. But if I lost it, well, it's all backed up, so that doesn't matter either. I'm so grateful. As I get older, I don't have to have a memory. I even have pictures of people in my contacts. You look familiar. So other than using an alarm, what you got to do to develop this new habit and to remember to do it at the moment and the time that you're doing it is you have to find a habit that you already have there. And you're going to tack this onto that habit. So you have that habit. At that time and place, I'm assuming you already have a habit there. That's why you're not doing this now. Whatever this is you're wanting to do, you're doing this other thing. So that other thing is the habit you have, and that's what's going to be there. But you want to use it to trigger you doing this new habit. And ideally, if you can identify 2 habits and bookmark it in between those, that's the best. Like I floss after I shave and before I brush my teeth. I don't ever forget to do that because I use the habits that I have to remind me. So this may take a moment to figure out, but take a moment to think through it and see what habit do you have, what behavior do you have at this time and place where you can use it to kick off doing this other habit. And hopefully you can write all this down. So by the way, my new habit is walking. And I'm doing it on Monday and Wednesday, just starting easy. And I'm highly motivated to pick up the newspaper out in front of my house. That's a habit. And I'm going to pick it up on the way back from the walk. If I pick it up after, if I walk after the paper, what might I do? What's my habit of picking up the paper? And walk into the house. And go, yeah, I'm not good with the paper. That'll be done in another habit. So everybody have the time and place and connecting to an existing habit? Good, good, good. Now, even that is not sufficient. It's sufficient to get it started, but it's not sufficient to keep it going. The habit is powerful. I don't know, haven't you ever had this experience where you come to that moment, time and place, where you think about doing what it is you know to do? I mean, you think about it. Now's the time. And have you had this little voice inside go, well, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I don't know. I'll do it later. I don't. I promise, I promise, I promise I'll do it later. Right? Another temptation. So all of this up to there isn't sufficient. You've got to put these next two things into place. And one of them is to know that repetition is necessary. That I'm going to have to do this a certain number of times, and the magic number is 21. We have no idea why 21. It has something to do with pathways in the brain or something. I don't know. But somehow, around the 21st time, when that voice comes, it's kind of like really small. It's kind of like, I'm so tired. And you're like, no, I'm not. But you have to do. You have to say to that voice for the first 21 times, you have to say, get thee behind me, whiny voice. And even that isn't sufficient to get it into orbit. You got to have the payment. Number six, we think that the reward should be the benefit of the habit. So how successful has that been? Has the benefit of the habit been sufficient to develop a habit? No. So that's not it. You can't have the benefit of the habit be what's driving you during those 21 times, or it's not going to be sufficient. Otherwise, you'd already have the habit. So I want you to come up with a reward for the 21st repetition. And it needs to be something that makes you salivate. Not necessarily food, but something that makes you go, ooh, ooh, I want that. Now, you do that already, but you might actually just go get it. Okay, so I'm suggesting that you just don't go get it. You wait for the 21st repetition. You take something that you might give yourself just anyway, and you set it up, and you get pictures of it, and you put it in your mind. And so when the whiny voice comes, you go, oh, no, I want this. So what would it be that would give you that energy in the moment when you hit the whiny voice about, I don't want to? Write that down. Come up with this reward that you're going to give yourself on the 21st repetition. And I recommend that you go ahead and lay this all out on your calendar for the 21 times. And if you have the ability to set alarms, set alarms, do all this stuff, because it's not easy to develop a habit. It requires a lot of energy and focus, and it's kind of like if you're having a battle and you've got an army and you're against another army, you don't send your army full frontal attack across the whole line, you want to focus it in one particular place to break through the line. That's why you got to work on only one of these at a time. And you got to put everything you got into getting that into orbit. And once you did that, it's like, whoa. Wow. What's next? Imagine every 21 days, which is, it depends on how you spread it out. Let's say most of us are doing it twice a week. So 21 days is going to take a couple of months. So let's make it easy. Let's say every 2 months we're getting a habit going. Project that out. What would that be in a year? 6 new habits. How many did you have last year?
Bad habits count?
They definitely count as habits. How many already got some of those? Right. I'm not suggesting you get rid of that. In fact, here's another trick. To stop a bad habit, if that ever does become the goal, you can't actually stop a bad habit. What you can do is start a new habit at the same time and place. Okay? Because, don't think about something. What are you going to do? You're going to think about it. It creates a craving for it. But the focus needs to be on what you want to do instead of that. And we don't tend to do that. We just think, I should stop this. This is bad for me. Not doing it should be beneficial enough to motivate me to stop it. And it's not. So you have to start something new instead. And just as simple as the little behavioral change for someone who's going to stop smoking, they start smoking a straw. That's the same kind of behavior. Because one of the things people do when they smoke is they take deep breaths. And when they stop smoking, they don't take any deep breaths anymore. They just don't think about that because they didn't know that's what they were doing when they were smoking. So taking deep breaths is a powerful thing to begin doing. Okay, I think I'm about finished, but let me just ask if you all have any questions, because I know a lot about this stuff. I've got the gold version, the Blu-ray. Absolutely. True. Oh, you're talking about the example in here. Let me leave you. This is part of a handout. And if you go to this page, Creating Positive Habits, at the URL at the end, there's an audio that talks similarly but differently. You can listen to it. And I think the handouts are there as well. I'll go back and take a look because it may just be a one page. And what I want to do is give you the whole, a 25-page worksheet on it because there's a lot of good information in it. Let me just end by focusing you on one new thought. Sometimes when I'm speaking, I'll have my name up here and I'll write underneath it, amazing being. And some people think that's egotistical, but that's only because they don't know me. See, now you know it's egotistical. Because we've been taught that if you say something nice about yourself, that you're doing it in comparison with others, and I don't do that. I can say this about myself because I also know it's true about you. I know that what's true about you is that you are an amazing being. And I'd like to just convince you about that for just a moment. I think there's certain criteria that I think is true about you. Let me just go through it. I think everyone is intricate and complex. Isn't that true? Aren't you so complex you don't understand all that's going on with you? The next thing that's true about you as an amazing being is you are fascinating. Now, be honest, aren't you one of your most favorite subjects? Don't you think about you a lot? And isn't it true that the world would be a lot more enjoyable if everyone realized just how fascinating you are? Third thing that's true about you, I believe, is that you're highly responsive. Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't? We react without thought, highly responsive. And the fourth thing that's true about you as an amazing being is that you're creative every moment. From the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, all we do is create. We create how we're going to think, how we're going to feel, how we're going to behave. And we also create, this is very fascinating to me, we also create, as amazing beings, we create that we're not very amazing. Which is pretty amazing. So any of you who don't think you're very amazing is just evidence of how amazing you are, that you're an amazing being, is all those things, and it's created that you're not very amazing. By the way, babies do not think this way. They know they're amazing. We all got taught to think we weren't. So let me encourage you to have that be one of the new ideas for this year, is that, in fact, you are an amazing being. And what are you, you know, if you're not an amazing being, what are you? You're just an average being. You know, and what do you expect from amazing beings?
Amazing.
What do you expect from an average being? Average things. So maybe just recognizing the truth of you, that I am new, what God has made me, I am, which is an amazing being who does amazing things, it might cause you to actually express that more often in your life. So thank you very much for this opportunity. It's been amazing for me. And let's take a moment now to prepare for meditation. Oh, thank you.